Look with me in the book of Isaiah. I want you to look at Isaiah 43:13. Isaiah 43:13. In your Old Testament reading, the book of Isaiah, verse number 13. Now, I'm going to come out of one verse with 3 points. I'm going to give you a subject. I'm going to stay with that subject in that text. Verse number 13 of Isaiah, or verse number 13 of Isaiah 43. I'm not going to ask you to stand. I know you revere God's word, and I know you appreciate it, but you've been up and down all night. But I'm going to ask just a short verse. I'm going to ask Brandon to read it for us, Isaiah 43:13. Listen to it.
Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it?
Read it one more time.
Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it?
I want you to underscore in your mind's eye, if not in your Bible with pen and or pencil, I want you to underscore, and who shall let it?
Amen.
Who shall let it? Now, we don't talk like they did in King's English. We do not talk in the vernacular that they used when this book was written. We don't say, who can let it? That's not even hillbilly vernacular. That's not even redneck vernacular. I don't know a redneck who would say, who can let it? What that means is, who can stop it? God said this, I will work, and who can stop me? There's some things that said they couldn't be stopped that have been stopped. They said about the Titanic, it could never be sunk, it would never sink, and that it was a ship built that was indestructible and could not ever have any problems needing repair. You know what happened to the Titanic? It went down in the icy waters, and all the people, basically most of the people on board, too many on board, were killed. And that ship still sits on the bottom of the ocean floor with this testimony. I thought I could do it all, but I couldn't. I thought I could not be stopped, but it was. But when it comes to God, I'm glad God cannot be haltered. I'm glad God cannot be stopped. God can't even be slowed down. God, our Savior and our Lord and Master in our life tonight, He's a God that when He sets His mind to something, He decides to get something done. You might as well pack up your baggage and move to the side of the road, because you could get steamrolled in the middle of the highway of life. I'm glad I'm not toting a message that may come true. I'm glad I'm not toting a Bible that might be authentic. I'm glad I'm not preaching a message that could turn out to be close to what I'm saying. I'm glad I got me a message, hallelujah, tonight that cannot be stopped, because it is a message about a God in it that cannot be stopped. He said, before the day was, before there was a night, before there was a moon, and before there was a star, and before there was a sky, He said, I was. He said, I am, before the day was, I am. Then He went on to say, who can deliver out of my hand? He says, I will work, and who can stop me? Now, I want to preach for just a few moments, if you'll let me, out of this verse, on some things God will do and show us that He is a God that cannot be stopped. Number one, you cannot stop God when it comes to preceding His people.
Amen.
Preceding His people. Read my verse now, the portion that refers to the point we're talking about. In the first part of that verse, what does it say?
Yea, before the day was, I am He.
Before the day was, I am he. Let me ask you a question. If somebody came before you and was perfect in his acts before you, do you think after you got here you could look back and trust him because his acts were premeditatedly done on his preeminence? I'm glad to know that I'm not trusting a God who's 100 years old. I'm not trusting a God who's 1,000 years old. I'm not trusting a God that can be measured like the God of the Babylonian people in Daniel 3. I'm not trusting a God tonight who is small in stature or who is short in lifestyle. I am serving a God tonight who is able to take my life and precede me and fix things for me, Achander, simply because he knows the end from the beginning and he knows everything that I need in between. Am I right about it? Why don't y'all just come on and take tonight and enjoy it with me. Just forget about it's warm. Just forget about it's almost hot. Just forget about suppers at home. Forget about your bills and just decide, hallelujah, I'm glad God cannot be stopped when it comes to getting out there in front of me and preceding me and leading me and guiding me and getting me to where he wants me to be. I want to read, Brandon, I want you to look over at 43:2. Read 2 and 3 and 5. 2 and 3 and 5, chapter 43. Read it.
When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Yeah. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee.
Start over. Listen.
When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Saba for thee. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west.
What he's saying in that verse is you haven't got to worry about the front end of your life because I was in the back end of it before you ever came along. I was God before in your mother's womb I formed thee and fashioned thee. Back yonder before Bryson City ever became my birthplace. Back yonder before 1946 ever developed a preacher. I'm glad back yonder before my mother and daddy ever knew each other. Back yonder when my grandma was running the hills of western North Carolina. Back yonder when my papa was making moonshine whiskey. And back yonder when my great-grandfather was a preacher. Way on back. Go on back as far as you want to go back. And then keep going back. And you'll find the God tonight who's under this tabernacle. Who knows what he's doing and knows how to do it. Somebody praise him just a minute. Read the first part of my text again. What does it say?
Yea, before the day was, I am he.
Before the day was, I am he. He said, when you go through the waters, I won't let you drown. When you come up to the fires, I won't let them burn you. When you come to the winds, I won't let them blow you away. When it comes to the torrential downpours, I won't let you drown. I'm glad we got a God who precedes his people. How many of you are glad he'll get out yonder in the front of you and take care of you? The reason we can believe that because he was here before we got here and he was here before whoever criticized you got here and way before you knew there was a God that loved you, he was God before you. I am he. It does my heart good to know God knows exactly what's going to happen to me tomorrow. I don't have to worry about it. All I have to do is obey it. I don't have to try to conjure up some methodology to find out what I need to know about tomorrow. It's not what I need to know. It's who I need to know. And if I know the who of tomorrow, he's got the what figured out. How many of you are glad we can put our lives in the hand of God and know of a surety that he'll handle it correctly? You remember that old show Wagon Train?
I do, yeah. I like it.
A Wagon Train to me is about like Andy of Mayberry. I think both of them will be shown in heaven. Hallelujah. One Bullet Barney and Pat. Oh, isn't Andy like the town preacher? Yeah, I mean, he's always trying to keep Barney from shooting his foot off and trying to keep Aunt Bee from running off with the milkman and doing what he can to try to keep everything going in town. And Barney is the perpetual idiot who keeps him in a job. But on Wagon Train, Rowdy Yates. Remember, Wagon Train was black and white. There's a little girl looking at me and say, what? It was black and white TV, remember? They'd get those wagons and start from the east to the west, and they'd circle them up. Mo Rowdy would put some beans in his saddlebags, or he'd put some beef jerky in his saddlebag, and he'd take off with orders from the scoutmaster, or the one that was in charge of the wagons. And he'd go 3 or 4 days down through yonder, and he would scout out. He would find out what was down there. He would find out what was going on. He would come back and report to them, either there were Indians or no Indians, water or no water, enemy or no enemy. He would come back and report. He was a scout. He would go down there and clear out a way, and then he'd go back and tell the folks, come on. I'm glad, hallelujah to God, that I have a Father. I have a Savior who doesn't leave me in limbo. He doesn't leave me worried about it. He doesn't leave me thinking about it. I'm glad out in front of me is the good Holy Ghost, and he precedes me in life, and he'll go down yonder and clear off a spot for me, and then and he'll whistle for me to come, and I can follow him because he's trustworthy. How do I know he's trustworthy? Because he was trustworthy for millions and eons and eons and eons and eons of time before I ever got here. He said, before there was a day, I am. I'm glad to know he was God back yonder. I'm glad he'll be God up yonder. I'm glad he's God right now, and he's God on both ends of right now. Somebody let the Lord know tonight that you're glad he's capable of running the show, and we hadn't got to worry about a blessed thing. Hallelujah. This is the only dry shirt I got, and it's fixing to be soaking wet. I'm going to have one. Somebody, one of you boys is going to have to get naked for me tonight. God bless you. I went off to Bible school. I went off to Bible school. Didn't have sense. God give a goat. And didn't know what I was going to do. Had a U-Haul trailer on the back of a wore-out car. And when I got there, I hadn't applied. When I got there, I didn't send no SAT tests or high school graduation diploma. I didn't send nothing. I put all I had in the car and went. I just went. I didn't even have GPS. I just had go Highway 17 north. Go ahead. You can't miss it. And I went up there, and I went into the admitting office, and the guy that was dean of men and dean of students, he said, son, where's the stuff you sent? I said, I hadn't sent no stuff. I just came. It was Friday afternoon about 5 o'clock. He's fixing to leave. He said, where are you spending the night? I said, where are you staying? That's exactly what I asked him. I said, where are you staying? Where are you hanging out tonight? Where are you staying? He said, I live here on campus. I said, me too tonight. I went home with him. Made him feel like a Christian would help a brother. If a man was really saved, born again, he'd take a brother and his wife home with him or help him get somewhere tonight. And we got to talking and got to fellowshipping at his house. And we come back up there the next morning. I didn't have a job. I wasn't accepted in the school. I didn't know what I was going to do. I was dumb as a stick. I didn't know exactly how. All I knew was God said, go. I stepped out, and I believed that he was out in front of me, making me a spot, clearing me off a place. And I just kicked the shavings with him. And when it come time for me to move, I just followed him. We were up there that Saturday morning, and a boy comes through, Eldon Ellsbury, came through the door and pitched some keys up on the desk. And he said to Scott Kerr, he said, "Mr. Kerr, you know that Gus Hauser quit Friday. He's leaving. And these are his keys." I looked at them keys. I said, "What does them keys go to?" They said, "It goes to the shop. The shop here on campus where they work on the buses and they work on cars and they work on Jeeps and stuff. All of the mechanical stuff here on the campus." Well, that's exactly what I had a job doing in Augusta.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Thank God.
Go ahead.
I want to tell you, it's not only that your path crosses with your destiny, but when it crosses.
Amen.
God has got the timing under control. Had I stayed somewhere besides his house the night before, I wouldn't have been there with him that morning. He threw them keys up. He said, "Can you work on stuff?" I said, now I did lie a little bit, but a man gotta do what a man gotta do. In Jesus' name. He said, "Can you work on anything?" I said, "Everything. Nothing I can't work." Now, there was a heap of stuff I couldn't fix. And they found that out after they hired me. But he said, "Take these keys, son, and be here Monday." He said, "And I got a buddy downtown that's looking for you a place. He's got a place for you to go look at in about 2 hours. I went down there and rented the place. Didn't have a dime to do it. Didn't have enough money to do it. And the guy who owned the place said, "Give it to me when you get it." I lived there about the whole time I was in college. On a "give it to me when you get it." You say, how in the world does that happen? God, not mama. God, not daddy. God, not uncle. God, not deacon. God, not church. God, not my buddies. God, not my friends. But God alone had it already before the world began. He had it figured out what I was going to need and put it all together. I caught up with it when I went to college, and God, through the power of leadership, brought me to a place. You know why he did? Because he's a God that the devil can't stop. He's a God that people can't stop. He's a God that circumstances can't stop. And he's a God nobody else can stop. Somebody holler amen.
Amen.
Number two, let me ask you before I go any further. I guess there is one thing that can halt him. It did in Mark 2 when he was in Nazareth. When he was in Nazareth. And the Bible says that he did not many miracles there, but just a few, because of their doubt and unbelief. So their doubt and their unbelief didn't stop God. It just made God do it somewhere else. Because he went over into Capernaum and gave Capernaum what Bethlehem could have had. Or Nazareth. But one thing can halt him in our life. And that is us deciding that we don't want to let him work. Don't worry about how you're going to get to where he takes you. You just go with him and he'll show you the way. Number two, here's the second one. We'll finish it up and I'll take my seat. Read the second one. He said, "I am, before the day was, I am he." What is the next one?
"And there is none that can deliver out of my hand."
Read it again.
And there is none that can deliver out of my hand.
God is so powerful when he grips something, he cannot turn it loose in on the command of outside interference or on the command of satanic protest. I'm glad to know, hallelujah, when you're in his hand. Go over to John chapter 10. Look at verse 27, 28, and 29. When you get it, let me know. I'm glad to know, hallelujah, that God has a handful of us. God has his hand crowded up with us. I'm glad that I'm in the hand of somebody tonight that cannot be stopped. I'm glad I'm under the control of somebody who cannot be stopped. This world thinks they can stop God. Obama thinks he can stop God. The Democrat and the Republican thinks they can put a quietus on God. I got news for that whole politically correct crowd. I'm glad to tell them tonight, hallelujah, before there ever was a Democrat, before there ever was a Republican, before there ever was an independent, before there ever was a Barbara Boxer, before there ever was a liberal homosexual in that crowd, I'm glad to know God was and God will be when it's all said and done, and God will be when it's all over. You can't stop him. Listen.
My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand.
Somebody rejoice right there for a few minutes. I mean, somebody rejoice right there for a few minutes. I mean, give him more than just a holy grunt. Let him know you're glad you're fashioned by the hand of God. You're kept by the hand of God. You're secure by the hand of God. Thank God tonight, I'm glad he's a God that cannot be stopped when it comes to protecting. Not just proceeding, but protecting his children. Could I not go through any section of these three sections of this tabernacle and pull out a wonderful testimony of the protecting power of God? I'm sure there's somebody who could stand up in this section here. I'm sure there's somebody who could stand up over here. I'm sure over here there's somebody outside the tabernacle roundabout who could stand up and say, the Lord deliver me from the pains of death. The Lord has brought me out of wreckage. The Lord has brought me out of sickness. God has pushed cancer to the side and given me healing. God has healed tuberculosis. God has healed and God has thrilled my life. I'd like to say tonight, praise God, I'm walking with one who doesn't just precede me and take care of the obstacles up above, but I'm sure glad, hallelujah, he protects me along the way, keeps me along the way. I'm kept by the mighty power of God. I'm kept in the mighty hand of God, and I'm glad to know my God and my Father tonight is greater than all, and I'm glad I'm safe in the hand of God this evening. I think you ought to get happy. I think you ought to praise him. You say, sound to me like God plays favorites. Sound to me like he does too. Sound to me like God got some special folk. Oh, sound to me like God got some special folk too. I'm glad if you know him. I'm glad if you belong to him. I'm glad if your name's written in heaven. I'm glad if your heart's right with God. Hey! 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 God, he'll never let me go. Kick me to the curb. Throw me under the bus. Do me wrong. Hurt me. He's in business to help me, to heal me, to hold me, to lift me, to love me, encourage me. Somebody give him praise and church to him. I would, if I knew a good one, I would let somebody stand up if I knew him and testify. But since I don't, I won't, I'll do it myself. And we'll move to the last point and quit. I was on I-20 one Saturday afternoon with my brother behind me in a car that he was delivering to a boy in Columbia. He's in the car business, has a Honda dealership there in Augusta, and he works there. We were taking a car, and I was driving a little car that belonged to a buddy of mine, and he was in the car. It was a Subaru station wagon. If your life has gone to the point that you drive a Subaru, if you'll see me after church, we'll have a laying on of hands service and see where your brain went. I hate to tell you, it was a Subaru, but they're light in the rear end, big time. I mean, this thing was jacked up in the back, had little bitty wheels, and the tires on it wasn't very good. And it started pouring rain. My buddy was eating plums. We had bought a bag of plums, and he set them right in the middle of that car. And we was eating those plums, and I was running about 65. Mike was right behind me with one of our deacons from the church in the car. We was going to run to Columbia and back. He was going to bring me back after we left that car. And it started pouring down rain, and that thing hydroplaned. I'm talking about water was blowing in sheets, and I was going way too fast. I shouldn't have been. I thought I knew what I was doing, which didn't happen. And that thing started around and around. The first time I went by Mike, I waved at him. His eyes was as big as Clarabelle the clown on Saturday morning. I went off the second time into the median. When I went by, he went by me. I said goodbye. I waved him on. The third time it went around, I was in the medium, and I had the brake pushed all the way to the front bumper. Whoom. Through the firewall, through the grill, to the front. I mean, I was saying, oh, Jesus. I wondered where it would all end. I hate to die on I-20, but it looks like this is where I'll see Jesus in full face. That thing hit one of those concrete bunkers, one of those drains, square concrete drain tops, knocked every tire, busted every tire in it, and throwed me out, and it went 100-something feet spinning this way. Then it knocked me out in westbound traffic, and when I was going out, I saw a BP truck with gasoline full. The tanker was full of, I didn't know it then, but I found it later, full of gas. He's coming. I'm going right to meet him. We are fixing to get acquainted. He and I are about to become bosom friends. He come down through there, and my car, that car, hit the last tire on that tractor tandem. The last tire, it hit that tire and knocked me back in the median. Another 6-8 inches, I'd have been under the trailer. I'd have been as dead as 4 o'clock. Knocked me back over in the median, pouring down rain. The motor was in the where the plums used to be. The motor came back, and the end of it was sitting in the back seat. The man sitting over here had one of those little things you hold to, and he was in a ball sucking his thumb. Fetal position. The only place left not to be crushed was the place I was sitting and he was sitting. The whole back end of the car was missing. The whole front end was in the car with us. I didn't even get a scratch, not a bump on my head. The only thing I lost was my plums. I did swallow 2 seeds right quick. A state patrol. Now these. Is that state patrolman here tonight? Where is he at? Bless you, brother. God bless your heart. I hope you got more sense than this. He was not working a wreck not far from that. He came back down there when one of the trucks radioed to him. He come running over in a torrential downpour. Stuck his head in there after I let the window down. He said, "My God, boy, you could have been killed." No. I think this was his first day on the beat. And God let a nurse come by. A little old girl, her and her mama, they was behind the truck and seen everything. She come running up there sopping wet, stuck her head, and she said, "Are you okay? Can I help you? Is anything you need?" I said, "No, ma'am, I think both of us are all right, I think." He had a little scratch on his head that was bleeding. And she disappeared, and I never did see her. I think she was an angel. I didn't even get sore. I thought, if this all there is to wrecking a car, I ain't got no problem wrecking four or five of them. My brother turned around and came back, and he thought surely I was dead. The whole thing was just right here was the only place to be. The state trooper went to check the truck driver out, and bless his heart, he didn't even know where he was. The front fender of that car was almost 200 yards up the road, where a car had picked it up and took off and couldn't get stopped. And God left me and this boy sitting there, and he was traumatized. I was sitting there, and the Holy Ghost said, "I let it hit in the right place." And before you ever got to the truck, I was over there examining the situation. "You're crazy as a bat, but I'm going to take care of you." He said, "You ain't got no sense. That's why you got me. You should have found me a whole lot sooner than you did." They come and haul my car off, and that truck didn't have that much damage. He took on off. And I got to rejoice in the fact that you can't stop God from protecting you. Let me ask you a question. Have you praised him today for his protection? I don't have cancer tonight, the best I know. If you do, I'm praying for you. But the best I know, I don't have a lung disease. Best I know, I don't have cirrhosis of the liver. Best I know tonight, my life is healthy. I've never had a heart attack. I don't know what it's like to be seriously ill, physically sick to where I couldn't go, and it prolong and hurt like some of you have. But can't we both praise him? I can praise him that he protected me, and you can praise him that he brought you out. I said, can't we praise him because I can praise him, he protected me, and you can praise him because he brought you out? How many of you are glad tonight we got a God on our side that can't be stopped when it comes taking care of us? And I want to tell you, that crowd in Washington is not going to be our problem. This world system's not going to be our problem. We're not worried about who the Antichrist is. We're trying to find out who the real Christ is. We're not interested in finding out what's going to happen. We got a God in charge who's working it all out. Somebody give him some praise in church tonight. Here's the third one. Read the third one.
I will work.
Read the whole thing again, and then stop on those three words.
Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand.
Listen to this.
I will work, and say who that, shall let?
Say that with me out loud, everybody. I will work. Say it again. I will work. Number one. He's a God that can't be stopped. In what, Brandon? In preceding us. That's why I have him. My mind's leaving to hunt my hair. But I'm not stupid. I'm not going to stay stupid and alone. I'm going to stay stupid with somebody just as crazy as I am, all right? I'm glad I got a God. He's a God that can't be stopped when it comes to preceding me. Number two, he can't be stopped when it comes even my foolishness. Can't stop God from protecting me. And the third one is I'm glad that I've got a God that cannot be stopped when it comes to perfecting his people. Perfecting. He said, I will work. I want you to read Philippians 1:6. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing.
Amen.
He, are you there? Are you there? He that hath begun, let us read it to you, that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it. He will perfect it. He will produce it unto the day and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody holler amen loud as you can. I'm glad what God started, God will finish. What God has dealt with in the past, God will continue to resurrect in our present, and he'll perform it in our future. I know sometimes I don't act right. I know sometimes I don't live right. But I'm glad I'm in a right work. I'm in a work that's been started by the Holy Ghost, and I'm in a work that the Holy Ghost is going to complete. Glory to God. I'm glad to know he that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it. Some of you think he ain't going to help you. Some of you think it's impossible for you to end up where you ought to. I'm here to tell you he's a God that started it, and he can't be stopped when it comes to be a God who will finish it. Somebody say amen. Give me them 3 points off of that. Here's something you can preach, Tommy, on Sunday. How many of y'all hear from Landrum? All right, y'all keep your mouth shut. What is it?
It's a confident work.
It's a confident work. This one thing I'm confident in.
A consistent work.
He said, this one thing the Lord will do. And he'll do it right. And it's a complete work. He said, the Lord will finish it. I'm glad to know that I don't know much about preaching. I don't know much about praying. I don't know much about pastoring. But I know enough to follow the one who knows it all. Hey, I'm glad he called me. And for that, you can't stop him.
That's right.
You can't stop him. I can't stop him. He's bigger than your problems. He's bigger than your aspirations. He's bigger than your doubt. I never dreamed. I started off where I'm at with 9 folks. Half of them was here last night. 9 folk. Last Sunday, I don't even know how many was there, but the building was slam full. It holds about 2,300. I had no idea that day when we had not a songbook, not a piano, not an organ. If we had we didn't have nobody who could play it.
Glory to God.
Nobody who could tune it. Nobody who could use it. We stood in and sung a cappella, Amazing Grace. It was awful. It was terrible. God hung his head and said, we got a work to do on this crowd. The angels of heaven hung the flags of all nations at half mass. I had no idea that God would resurrect my poor life and give me favor like he has with people. I bless him for it. It's all his doing. But he had a work and he started it. And I'd like to say after 36 years, he is still working on me. Tell you this story and we'll quit. There was a man in a Midwestern state that lost everything he had. Lost his family in a period of about 2 years, lost everything he had. Financial, physical, marital, lost it all. He was living in deep depression. He was living with an anxiety of spirit. One day he was on the outskirts of town where they were building a church building, just a small building. And they were working on the front end of it. They had a belfry in the top of it and they had a steeple. And this particular front of this church had a rock arch on it up about 30-40 feet. And he came by the little old church and he looked up and he saw the arch incomplete. Right in the middle of it, there was a breach in it, a break. He kept walking. He went up the sidewalk there where the construction was going on, and he seen a man sitting on a stool. And he was chipping away at a piece of granite. He was chipping at it and cutting it and chipping at it and smoothing it and cutting it and chipping at it. He didn't have nothing else to do, so he stopped and made small talk with the man who was working with the rock. He said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm fashioning this rock." He said, "Well, what in the world are you going to do with it?" He said, "Son." He said, "I'm making it right down here so it will fit up there." Now, if you can't get that, there ain't no need in me telling you. I'm glad God's chiseling on me down here, and God's smoothing on me down here, and God's honing on me down here, so that when it comes time for this thing to fit perfectly together, I'm glad I'll be right for up yonder. I may not be ready yet. He hadn't come to put me in place, so I must not be. But I'm glad to know he knows when, he knows where, he knows how. Somebody holler amen right there. Is not our God a wonderful God that cannot be stopped? Let's bow our heads together.